No, we know someone who went on. We actually interviewed someone who went on her first date, and on the date, he took her to a place to get tested.
Sexy.
But she thought it was crazy.
It was crazy. That is crazy. Okay.
I think it's hot.
I think I've heard my mom talk about her sex life to me like 3 times.
As far as I know, they've had sex 4 times and it resulted in 4 children.
My parents are openly talking about it all the time. It's disgusting.
Welcome to Sex Talk with my mom. I'm Cam Poder.
And I'm Karen Lee Poder.
My mother is a sex expert, cougar, and the world's oldest living millennial.
And my son is a Buddhist clown.
Together we chat about sex. Why do we do it, mother?
To open up the barriers of what people can talk about.
That is absolutely correct. We're hoping to reduce shame and maybe make you laugh while we do it.
That's right. It's a little entertainment and education.
And today we have quite an educating and entertaining episode with Dr. Lindsay Doe of Sexplanations.
But before that, I'd like to talk about our sponsor today.
Our sponsor that I'm absolutely in love with.
I know. You are in love.
Clona Willy.
Clona Willy is it's a little arts and craft kit.
It's a do-it-yourself genital molding kit.
Okay, what would someone want more than anything for this holiday season as a gift?
Well, if you like your own genitals, why don't you give it to someone else?
Why do you keep calling it genitals? It's basically a clone of your penis.
Or vulva.
Right.
Because they have a clone of pussy kit, too.
Right, and they come
We've both done it separately, and they've come in all these wonderful colors. We have a glow in the dark over here, a hot pink, and this is the perfect holiday gift for the season.
It is so much fun. It'll spice up your love life, and if you're far away from your partner, it's a good thing to send in the mail.
So, and this is the best part. They're offering a tremendous deal to our listeners this holiday season. Go to clonawilly.com and enter promo code MOM for 20% off your entire order.
That's a good deal. Order up. Stack up for the season.
clonawilly.com. Enter promo code MOM. All right. So now this episode is with Dr. Lindsay Doe. And for those who don't know who that is, she's probably the premier sex educator on YouTube right now.
She has over like 500,000 subscribers. She's absolutely adorable, by the way. We met her in person at
immediately started the interview by throwing me right at under the bus saying that I thought she was hot.
Well, I didn't expect her. I never really thought about what she was going to look like. And when I see her in person, she looks like a little doe. She looks like a doe. Her name is Dr. Lindsay Doe, and she looks like a little like a little deer.
I like the little deer. And she's quite educational.
Are you like sexually turned on by her? Is that what you're trying to say?
I would like to date her. All right. But no, here's Dr. Lindsay Doe she used to be a university professor of sex basically.
Right.
At the University of Montana.
I think she will go into that a little in the interview about how she basically was asked to leave because unfortunately,
that was just shared with you on the side.
Oh, well, yeah. Okay. That was on the side. I got the scoop about what went on there, but it was basically that, unfortunately universities don't want to teach sex education.
And so she's teaching and she teaches us. So in this episode, we debunk a bunch of myths related to sex, like why it's not necessarily safe to have sex with just virgins.
Yeah, people have like these warped ideas and she debunks a lot of these myths. Like, what do you do if you can't get hard with a condom?
And she tells you what to do.
Right.
It's tremendous. She's an expert in STDs. So, of course, I plague her with questions.
Barraged her.
And I got down to the nitty gritty with her.
Yes, you did. No stone left unturned on that subject.
And then I ended with one of my favorite questions now, which is, how do you choose who to have sex with?
I think you stumped her on that question, by the way.
So you guys are in for a treat with all of this. And before we move on to that, I wanted to let you guys know, there's also a treat available at sextalkwithmymom.com. We have a survey that takes 5 minutes. If you take it, it really helps us figure out who is listening. And by doing that, we can then find an advertisers that best fit our listenership. So you really, really help us out by going to sextalkwithmymom.com.
But we help you out too, because you'll get 300. If you win, we're going to pick one lucky winner. And if you are the one, you will get $300 worth of toys and products from Babeland.
Babeland.com is sponsoring this little survey, and we have some awesome WeVibe products coming to you, to one lucky winner.
But it literally takes 5 minutes and it'll help us then gear all our sponsors to what the listener wants to hear.
Correct. And last but not least, if you like this episode, subscribe is key, because then you don't miss anything.
Yeah. See, unfortunately, if people don't subscribe, they don't know when we have new episodes out. And we do have them out Mondays and Thursdays, but sometimes we air them all over the place. So
subscribe. And let us know your thoughts at our hotline. Yes, text mom. You can text or leave us a voicemail there. On that note,
let me tell you about the birds and the bees and the Lindsay Doe's. Oh, I couldn't think of something to rhyme with Lindy Doe D's. Sorry about that, guys.
It was horrible again.
Sorry. I'm on a roll.
Dr. Lindsay Doe, welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you for having me.
I'm so excited to have you.
And I'm so excited to have you.
We are reporting live from PatriotCon.
This is so cool. We're very official.
And I was thrilled to run into you because we follow you on Patreon.
We basically stalk you.
And you are an inspiration for us. So I'm excited to ask you some questions.
Thank you. Please do. Yes. Ask me all the questions. Stay curious.
Okay. So you seem for a sex educator. Okay. Here's what I'll say. In general,
you're hot.
Sex educator. That was what you wanted to say. For most sex educators, they're like very out there people, like usually kinky and like wild, but you seem like pretty innocent and like,
yes,
like, you know, not as totally outlandish as some of the people that are in this space. So what got you involved in sex education?
Are you trying to say I'm vanilla?
Yes.
In a way, you seem from the outside. Yeah, I mean, your hair is not dyed red. Yeah.
You're like, it's been purple.
Like, you're like Becky Thatcher and Tom Sawyer. Aww. You're so innocent.
Yeah, I do think I'm vanilla despite my best efforts. I'm heteroflexible despite my best efforts and monogamous despite my... I would love to be like kinky and poly and pan and all of those things. But I'm not. I'm Dorothy.
I get it. I'm the same way. I have this discussion all the time with you. Don't I, Kim?
You do.
I want to be like, you know, I want to do the whole threesomes and all that kind of stuff. And then I'm like, why? I'm really not wanting to do that. So, yeah.
Have you explored that part of yourself, or are you kind of
totally. But it's always done in more of an experiential learning fashion.
Yes.
And never in an I am attracted to this and want it and get off on it. For example, my training of BDSM involved kinesthetic learning, and so Clea Dubois, who I would call the grandmother of BDSM, actually pierced my chest and did S&M play that way. And it was very powerful, and I understood how people could get off from that, but it didn't do anything for me except fulfill a lot of intellectual pleasure of like, wow, I'm learning, I'm experiencing this, I get it, I understand a little bit more about sensations and power play, but it's not stirring my loins.
Right, yeah. Exactly, yeah. So then why sex? Why is this so important for you?
There's a book called Dr. Tatiana's, I think it's Sex Advice to All Creation, written by someone named Olivia Judson. And in her preface, she says, it's a line that there's nothing else in life that is more important and troublesome. And I really believe that it is, it's something that's challenging, that people don't know where I can help them. And I was never raised to believe that it should be treated like any other or different than any other subject. So,
Yeah.
Wow.
Why not sex?
Exactly. That's a good one. Yeah.
Yeah.
We found your way here.
Yes,
oh my God.
But it's not like
we?
The most welcoming space, I'd say. Like, in terms of like creating a business around it or like having a career in it, right?
As much as they say sex sells, it really is very difficult.
Yeah.
Not to sell it, but to be able to not get to roadblocks when it comes to presenting it.
Right. Right. No, I agree that there are definitely challenges. Maybe that's what I get off on. I love the problem solving of it.
Oh, tell us what you do, like everything that you do, like on an average day, for example.
It is very self-care focused, so a lot of eating and exercising and being in the sun. In terms of my work, I change that so that nothing is ever routine, but I do YouTube channel episodes, so they're about 300 something on youtube.com/sexplanations.
Awesome.
And then I also have a podcast, which is a side project, and that's by the same name, Sexplanations. And now I'm going to go on tour.
This is awesome.
Really, really exciting.
What do you do? Are you like doing like a sex ed campaign when you're on tour? What's
so
that entail?
The idea is that we'll go to public libraries and parking lots and parks and just set up this little makeshift stage and then teach whoever shows up about sex. And there's no admission, no tickets, no pre-sale, nothing. We just want to give sex ed to people for free where they are.
That's
and so
bold.
Yes. Thank you. I'm going to take that
it's
as a compliment.
Awesome.
Yeah. So we are asking people to support us, people who can, to help cover the cost of the RV and the gas and the food and whatnot, so that, you know, all the volunteering that we're doing is our kind of input of money, but then we're not also having to cover our expenses.
You were telling me about the tour earlier and how like there's some cities that are way more welcoming and it will be easier for you to travel to, and others that are not as welcoming.
Yes.
What can you give us some examples of each and why that would be the case?
Well, for example, Los Angeles, where we are, the two of you are so lovely and sex positive and friendly, and
oh,
I feel like coming to this place is very easy, right? Because the community is already welcoming. But I imagine that there are communities like Montana, where I'm from, where they would not be a huge fan of me showing up and talking about anything but abstinence. So,
oh wow,
we're really focused on being invited into communities and trying to reach communities that need us.
Totally.
How about you personally? So when you are, I don't know if you're single or what your situation is, but do people automatically like gravitate towards you because you're a sex educator, or are they turned off by that, or are they intimidated by it?
I don't know. They don't tell me. Like, oh, I'm your friend because you're sex positive. I think like attracts like, and also opposites attract. I don't know. I just try to be authentic, so I attract authenticity.
Yeah. I think that comes through in your YouTube videos for sure.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah. So I brought up a list of questions. I thought we might be able to play a game where these might be myths about sex that I wanted to see if you can debunk.
Ooh, fun.
Do you want to do this?
Wow, let's do yes. It.
Okay. So,
yes. And I'm nervous.
So this statement is, of course I'm safe. I've only ever slept with virgins.
Oh, no.
It's bad. It's a myth?
Yes.
Why?
You'd think that they don't have any diseases, though.
Wait, I had a guy that did that.
Say this again?
So this person says, of course I'm safe. I've only ever slept with virgins.
So there's been a transition in language from safe sex to safer sex. So as sex educators, we say safer sex because we believe that there is no sex that is 100% safe. So with that, just having sex with someone, you are not safe.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see, what else can I say about
it? So is a virgin ever at risk of like just having an STD to start with?
Yes.
Because I could have gotten it through like fingers or mouth or whatever.
Yes. I mean, and I try to steer people away from the language of virginity because it's not helpful and it's not real. Like, you're not losing anything. If you look down there, it's all still there.
Yeah, totally.
Except the hymen. Sometimes that could be missing.
Well, it's not missing. It's just been torn or stretched.
Right.
So anyway.
Yeah, gymnasts or however, like a lot of people.
Or you put a Tampax in, but
yeah.
Whatever.
Right.
What's your next
question? Okay, next myth.
But hang on. For example, herpes can be transmitted from a mother to son, right? Like you have this relationship. I'm not talking about genital herpes, but oral, right? You just kissing on the mouth or in...
Like, I tend to not kiss him on the mouth, but...
Well,
anyway.
as a child, right? Most people get oral herpes before age 8. And that is from... You might, like, have taken a pacifier, cleaned it with your mouth, and then given it to your kiddo. And then that kiddo has oral herpes.
Yeah.
And then if you were to go down on a partner without using protection or go down on that, like, ooh, they're a virgin, therefore I'm going to go down on them, or I am a virgin, and, you know, I'm not going to give them anything. And you can transmit oral herpes to the genitals because it's a virus.
Right.
And it mutates
now it's type
in order
two.
To stay alive.
Totally.
Well, it's not that it changes to type 2.
Oh.
It's that type 1 and type 2 can now set up shop in different places because they've mutated in order to survive. Yes.
Yeah. I've also heard, though, that you can't get it. You can't get, like, type 2 on your genitals and also on your mouth. It's either one area or the other.
That you can't. That you can or can't?
Yes, that you can only get it in one area or the other. You can't get them in both areas at the same time, like, in the course of your life.
Oh, yes, right. So you could get type HSV-1 in orally, you can get it genitally, and you can get it anally, but you probably can't get it in all three spots, because if you have it in one area, your immune system will build up so that it doesn't transmit to other parts of your body.
Yes. I've tried to explain this to you many times.
I still don't get it, but let's move on to
the
second.
Wait, I did want to say something. So it seems like, especially since you're teaching on college campuses, like there's so much more casual sex now than there was, it seems, in the past because of apps and just a more sex-positive culture. Is that your perception as well, or am I just making an assumption?
Well, it seems like you and I are from a similar cohort, and so maybe our experience is, oh, we didn't know people were having casual sex when we were young, and now we are at the age where people are having casual sex, so it seems more.
Okay.
But maybe you.
Oh, my. Yes. I had tons of casual sex.
I was going to say, I actually think that this is not a new phenomenon.
I was in the golden days before they had something called AIDS.
Yeah.
Or at least we knew about it.
And we'd like to take a quick commercial break to thank our sponsor, Care Of.
I'm hooked, just so you know.
Care Of is a personalized vitamin service. You take an online quiz, they send you these personal packs directly to your door of awesome vitamins.
This is like a godsend to me because I was already taking like a dozen pills, of which I knew pretty much nothing about. I was just guzzling pills. I put them in my pocket.
They're flying everywhere.
They're all over the bottom of my purse. But these are little packages that are directly customized to you.
I never took vitamins before this. And the reason was because I didn't know what the hell to take. I didn't know what my body needed.
So you took the quiz. You found out you have a lot of issues.
It's a five-minute quiz. I learned a lot about my body and what it needs. Like, I didn't know I needed rhodiola.
Okay.
Well, did you know that is going to improve my stamina?
So glad to hear that.
The honesty of Care Of is tremendous. They tell you all the scientific back research about these products, which for an anxious mess like myself is very important.
It is.
So if you want 25% off your first month of personalized Care Of vitamins, visit takecareof.com and enter promo code MOM. Takecareof.com, enter promo code MOM.
Mona Willie.
We're so excited they were sponsoring this episode because they're literally one of the best gifts you can give someone this holiday season.
It's so easy to talk about Clona Willie. They're a craft kit that what you do is a do-it-yourself, make a replica of either your dick or your pussy.
Okay, so it's called Clone a Willie. We've been saying it very fast. I want to make sure people understand. You literally are making a clone
of your willy.
Of your penis or pussy.
Now, what do you do with this clone of pussy or willy?
Well,
you...
someone can put it inside themselves.
Yes.
Someone can make out with it.
Yes.
You can do all sorts of things. You can put it as a paperweight.
You can make it, as my boyfriend puts it, as a shrine. He looks at my clone of pussy every day and does a little shrine dance to it.
But it really is a sexy experience. What, a shrine dance?
I made that part up.
It really is a sexy experience to make it, and it's an awesome gift if you're still thinking about what to give your partner this holiday season. So go to clonawilly.com.
And get 20% off if you enter code MOM.
Clonawilly.com, enter promo code MOM. That'll be in the show description of this episode. So this is my question for you. Do you think that it's kind of become a little too easy, or we don't consider the safety around sex as much as we should be considering it? Like the likelihood of transmitting STDs. Basically, what I'm asking is...
He's an anxious mess.
No. There's like a lot of my friends have casual sex all the time, like using Tinder or Bumble, whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they seem to have almost zero concern with getting STDs relative to my concern. So
how do I want your friends to have more concern?
Yes.
Yes. Yes, I do.
Yeah.
Yes.
And am I crazy for being so concerned?
No.
Oh, all right.
Yeah, you made him feel a lot better, I think.
So I want to make a disclaimer that I am not a medical doctor, and I am also not with my finger on the pulse of virology or any of the microscopic investigations of what is going on currently. But when I was doing HIV prevention work full time, the statistic that we had is that people on average don't know until year 7 that they are HIV positive. So they go 7 years having the virus in their system, being able to transmit the virus to other people before they find out.
Oh, no.
Even if they're getting like regular STD tests or they're just not?
They weren't getting tested.
Okay, I see.
Yeah.
Okay.
They weren't
getting tested. But he's been tested like 2 times in the last like 6 weeks or something.
Okay. You're supposed to get tested every 6 months, regardless of whether or not you're sexually active or injecting drugs.
Thank you.
Or anything like that.
Even people like myself who thinks they're in a monogamous relationship.
Yes, that is what the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention say is every 6 months.
Go on and get tested.
Yeah.
Because I would say that one of the, my language is tricky here, but one of the risk factors is monogamy, because you have this mindset that you are safe or that you trust this person and therefore they wouldn't put you in danger. But oftentimes people don't get tested to find out what their virus situation is. They just default to I'm negative or I would know.
Mm-hmm.
And so they end up partnering in these monogamous relationships with someone who is infected, or it's unilaterally monogamous, meaning one person is monogamous and the other person is not.
Yeah.
Although if it was me dating right now, I'm not dating. I mean, I'm in a monogamous relationship. Before anything ever happened, I made sure he got tested and I got tested. So that
great.
Was, you know, just a no brainer for me.
So then
that's awesome. Very. Thank you. We just set an example for everyone, including your son. Good job, Mom.
Yeah.
Would you insist that any of your sexual partners get tested before you have sex with them?
Yes.
Wait.
Oh, interesting.
Why wouldn't she?
Wait, most people don't.
No,
are you kidding?
But
you start dating someone? I know, but like, I want to just see if that's like a normal thing, or I mean,
no, we know someone who went on. We actually interviewed someone who went on her first date, and on the date, he took her to a place to get tested.
Sexy.
But she thought it was crazy.
It was crazy. That is crazy. Okay,
I think it's hot.
You'll be turned on if you know the other person is safe.
Oh,
and then,
are you kidding me?
I completely agree.
That's hot.
FYI.
That's like when somebody goes to wash their hands and brush their teeth. I'm like, oh, it is so on.
That is hilarious.
Yeah, it means they care about my experience and they don't want to do harm. And they want, like, oh my gosh.
So you don't think of yourself as a crazy person. You think everyone else is crazy for not having this.
Crazy is a word that I don't often use, but
you don't question your own inclinations.
Yeah. Why should she?
She teaches
on college campuses. She's going to teach no love, right?
I guess I don't have that experience to say, but I often I'm asking this question out of my own personal experience.
Because he's got a lot of crazy friends.
There's a lot of doubt when you see all of your friends behaving in a different way, and then I seem like a neurotic, being like, no, what are you doing? Of course, before we have sex, you're going to have to get tested, because otherwise...
Because you care about your body
also gives
and your
them
genitals.
He gives them like a 100-question
No, I don't give him a 100-question test.
I'm just kidding.
I think that conversation is very important to have before at least I have sex, because otherwise I get in my head about, where is this going to lead?
It goes, do you want to go on a second date? Yeah. I would like to have sex with you at some point. Do you think you could go get tested so we know the results in 2 weeks and I know I can have sex with you in 2 weeks?
That's so intense.
I said that too.
This is such an intense statement.
If you're going to have sex, you need to be tested, especially without a condom.
On the second date, if someone said to you on the second date, I would really like to have sex with you and I need you to be tested first.
Well, from what I know now as a sex expert, sex educator, whatever I am, yes, I would think that that's a very important statement, because even if you wear a condom, you could still get all these other diseases.
I guess something that would prevent me from having that conversation is the uncertainty that would want to be seeing this person in 2 weeks. And this is kind of like me committing to spend two weeks.
Well, first
you
got to find someone who you want to be in a relationship with.
Yeah.
Well, no, I'm even talking about... So the one-night stand culture, hookup culture... condoms are really helpful. Dental dams are helpful. Gloves are helpful. And also expanding your definition of what sex is. So you don't have to have high risk behaviors on that first time of hooking up. You can test whether or not you're sexually compatible with somebody before you wait for test results or commit to like a 2 week out time period.
Mm-hmm.
But if I'm going to...
condomless?
No, but like enter a sexual relationship with someone, absolutely absolutely, I'm going to wait until your test results come back. And it's going to be way hotter sex because, one, if you can follow through with that commitment, then I know that, like, you care about how good it's going to be for me. Mm-hmm. And two, if it comes back, whatever the results are, I have more information to protect myself and the other person so that it's not going to do harm.
I completely agree with you.
What would you do, though, if you came back that this, you're interested in this person? Like, say Cam was interested in a person and came back that the person had herpes, the type 2. Mm-hmm. Would you suggest that he continue the relationship with that person and have sex with that person even though the person has type 2?
Absolutely. Okay. Well, not I'm not saying absolutely, like, I make the decision for whether or not you do that, but I, in just putting it onto myself, I would say, oh, okay, well, let's watch these sexplanations videos about herpes so we understand. How cool of you to tell me. That's really awesome. You didn't have to do that. Most people have herpes and treat it like a cold and they just go without informing the other person. That's very awesome. The reason why genital herpes are treated differently than oral, which we just call cold sores and move on through our life, is because they're below the belt. They're taboo. It's not because you're dirty or wrong or you did anything promiscuous or shameful, or, like, not that promiscuity is shameful, but tons of people have herpes. I'm really glad you know. Now we'll know to watch for it and try and reduce our risk.
Mm-hmm. Well, that if he went for it and the person had the type 2, and even if the person wasn't having an outbreak, then he most likely could get it, right?
Yes. And because it sheds.
And So then it's something that he'd have to really make sure he wanted to.
This is harkening back to another episode that we did where we were talking about if you were to be in the situation where you find out that this person, say, does have an STD that you might get, and you choose in that situation not to hook up with them, then if that's the hypothetical, should you, and in reality they don't have STDs, should you still be hooking up with them? This is a very hard, this is a mumbled question, but did you understand where I was going?
I did not.
Okay.
Do it again, cut it correctly.
Okay. Say I meet Sally, and I'm like, I'm on the fence about whether I want to hook up with Sally. I think she's attractive, but maybe I don't feel the emotional connection there.
Okay.
But if I found out that Sally, say, had herpes, and I was be like, I don't want to risk getting herpes, I'm not going to choose to sleep with Sally. Like, that's the deal breaker.
Okay.
Should I be sleeping with Sally in the first place, knowing that I was on the, you know, if she did have herpes?
Is it worth the risk?
Well, those are two very different questions. If you're on the fence about whether or not to sleep with someone, you choose that, which side of the fence you fall off on, or what I would say is you don't make the decision until you have more information. For, like, whether or not you have sex with somebody if they have an STD, that is also coming back to a very narrow definition of sex, because there are lots of ways to be sexually active with someone that don't involve putting yourself at risk for whatever virus or bacteria is in their body.
Totally. That's a good, like, herpes, you would not get on your fingers, so you could easily have finger.
Multiple fingers, fists.
All
sorts of stuff.
It's hilarious. I wanted to ask you something. A lot of my friends say they don't use condoms because they don't like the feeling, or they get soft if they put a condom on. What do we do in this situation?
We encourage them to masturbate with them.
Oh, good call.
Interesting.
And put lube in the tip when they're being put on, or to do what's called cheeking, where the condom is put on with the mouth. Not using condoms and doing other sexual behaviors. Finding different condoms and trying those out. So one thing I recommend is going to a clinic and asking for a trial package of condoms and getting as many different brands as you can find, and then trying them out and playing with them and playing with partners and just desensitizing your body to that.
Good call.
We're gonna share that information
along with that question, though. What if the person, because a couple of guys have called in and said that they had this problem where they like psychologically can't get hard when they're with a girl because of just repeated poor performance?
Yeah.
What does that person do?
I would recommend ASECT, A-A-S-E-C-T, which is the American Association of Sex Educators, Counselors, and Therapists, and find a clinical sexologist in your area, and then unpack that with a professional.
Thank you.
How do you choose who to have sex with?
How do I choose?
Yeah.
Ooh.
What a question, Cam.
I love it.
I would not answer that.
Really?
No.
Have you not ever talked about this?
No.
Mother, son?
I feel like we've talked maybe not that direct question.
I mean, because I've been in a long-term relationship for 10 and a half years, so if I was single,
yeah, but this comes up a lot for me about who I'm choosing to have sex with. And
okay.
Ooh, well, okay. Future episode.
Yeah.
I hope son asks mom, how do you choose who to have sex with? I think I choose based on emotional safety.
And
the emotional safety comes first, and then
Cam is in love with you now.
This is exactly it. But I.
I don't identify as demisexual. So a demisexual person is somebody who maybe doesn't experience sexual attraction until there is a deep emotional connection made.
Mm-hmm.
I would say it's more like that can happen very quickly for me. I can be sexually attracted to somebody, but in order to have willingness to participate in a behavior, I want to know that they're not using me, that they care about my body, that pleasure is important, that they can communicate and negotiate.
Mm-hmm.
Communication
I'm
is
completely
lubrication.
There with you. And it's almost surprising to me that some people don't view it because it's such an intimate experience that I'm like, how do you not have this? But
and also,
I mean, you obviously don't feel that same...
Well,
need.
No, I always have felt much more comfortable having an orgasm with someone who I've known for more than that an hour. You know, always takes, you know, I'm much more comfortable with someone and I communicate better. And obviously sex is going to be way better with someone who cares about me and I care about them. And they are able to communicate back and forth what our needs are. But that being said, sex can be good if you just meet the person and you have a good time with the person. I mean, there's fuck buddies. There's all kinds of relationships.
Totally. I think you can do it in all sorts of ways. I'm just saying personally, for me, I enjoy having a sense that this person wants to enjoy it too.
Yeah. Yeah. Totally.
Yeah. When you say using me, what does that mean?
If somebody was like, I want to get in Dr. Doe, I'm like, no, you're not going to.
Do you think that does that happen to you? Like people are like, oh, I can get this doctor. She's sexy. She's
hot. Oh, yeah, yeah. In YouTube comments, will say,
"Oh my god!"
All sorts of things.
You know, do you get that on YouTube too? That I'm not going to. I'm going to digress for 2 seconds. I got someone who said, "You have really big ears." What is this with people and their negative comments to me? I mean,
don't take it as a compliment. Just say, "Oh, thank you."
He's like,
"I love
just,
my ears."
Just for a little help is what he said. A little help. You have really big ears, big ass ears. Cover them up.
Oh my god! Aww.
Seriously, but I don't get personally attached to it. I'm just curious because you're such an attractive girl. Woman, I should say. Do you get a lot of comments from pervy guys?
Not a lot, but I get the you have big eyes, you should blink, you should close your eyes.
What?
Yeah. And then
that's
I just say, I'll talk and I'll say, I love my eyes.
Are you a Pisces?
No.
Oh, you got beautiful eyes.
Sagittarius.
Though. Ah.
She's convinced anyone with big eyes is a Pisces.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Like goldfish?
Yeah, like me. Like, yeah, like, that's exactly right.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're coming up on our time. What would you like to plug to our listeners? How do they find your work? If there's anything that you
want to
promote?
I want your listeners to continue listening to you.
Oh, my God. I want to hug you.
Aw, thank you. Because I think that it would be cool if you shared with your son how you go through the process in a longer conversation about determining who to have sex with. Because I think that is actually the most important conversation guardians can have with their kiddos.
Wow. But this is going to be the Monday morning after show of this episode.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So tune in Monday
that. We'll do the Monday morning unpacking of that one. But I have to say, pheromones play a big part. To me?
Ooh.
That's smell.
Spoiler.
Spoiler alert. So we end our interview with the same question for everyone. Has a parent ever walked in on you having sex or vice versa? Have you walked in on them?
No and no. I don't think so.
All right.
Well, and if it had happened, like...
What do your parents think about you being the sex expert that
you are? They're very supportive and they love me very much. And I am incredibly fortunate for that. And I know that that's not the situation for all people. So,
yeah. Thank you for coming on the
show.
Thank
you so much. We love
you. Thank you for having me.
Oh, we got to have a group hug.
Thank you so much.
That was awesome.
It's time for today's Lucky Land horoscope with Victoria Cash.
Life's gotten mundane, so shake up the daily routine and be adventurous with a trip to Lucky Land. You know what they say, your chance to win starts with a spin. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com to play over 100 social casino-style games for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void or prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.